Today, my dear faithful, is Sexagesimo Sunday, and the epistle is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 9. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise. I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times did I receive 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is scandalized, and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation, under Aretas the king, guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth. Such a one rapt even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words, which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me, and lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me. There was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan, to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And others some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: The seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh, and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way, are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. but that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it and bring forth fruit in patience. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At one time, my dear faithful, there was a little girl who had a violent temper, whom we shall call Lily. Little tempestuous Lily went to a school taught by religious sisters. But Lily demanded to have everything her own way, and when she didn't get her way, her temper immediately flared up quite violently. The sisters tried to help Lily overcome her fault, but all seemed hopeless. The sisters tried encouragements and corrections, rewards and punishments, but this little girl's temper simply could not be controlled. They marveled that such a little person could have such a violent temper. Nevertheless, they kept helping her, and especially praying for this little girl. But months had passed now, and Lily's temper had not improved in any way. And then, almost overnight, it all changed. Without any apparent reason, it seemed, Lily became a sweet and gentle girl. Soon she was a model student, known for her obedience and her kindness. The sisters rejoiced that their prayers had been answered, but they were left to wonder how it came about. Soon after this, during one of Lily's classes, one of the sisters, her teacher, noticed the little girl do something a little odd. In the middle of class, Lily put her hand to her chest. She bowed her head for a moment, and then she went back to her classwork. The sister didn't think much of it at the time, and so she continued teaching the class. It was not until the sister saw Lily repeat that same action many times throughout that day that she became curious. Whether walking down the hallway or in the middle of recess, Lily repeated this throughout the day. She put her hand to her chest, bowed her head for just a few moments, and then she returned to whatever she was doing. Later on, when they were alone, Sister asked Lily about this. The little girl turned red at the question, shuffled her feet uncertainly, and then she stepped forward to the sister and whispered in her ear, "It is to help me to be good." The sister was puzzled at this, and so she asked, "How can that help you be good?" Lily glanced around and made sure no one else was there. She then bent over a little and reached inside her shirt. Very carefully, as if pulling out a treasure, the little girl pulled out a ribbon, and especially the little crucifix that was attached to it. Lily then explained to the sister, "When I am tempted to be bad, I press this image to my heart, and then I find it easy to be good." Now, my dear faithful, in the Gospel of today's Mass, Christ tells the parable of the sower and the seed. Our Lord explains that he is the sower, his seed is the word of God, and the good ground is the heart of the people who hear and keep the word of God. Christ declares that the good ground, the only hearts in which the word of God thrives, are they who in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Our Lord tells us then that we must patiently live according to the word of God. One of the most important teachings of our Lord's Gospel is to bear our cross. If we do this, if we perseveringly carry our cross, we shall bring forth fruit, the fruit of our salvation. Patience, then, my dear faithful, is an essential virtue. Theologians define it as that virtue which inclines man to endure evils so that he may not be oversaddened at them. These evils are the sufferings of life. Sometimes they are physical, such as sickness, pain, or discomfort. At other times, they are what are called moral evils, such as temptation, loss of reputation, or humiliation. When we suffer an evil, we are naturally saddened at it. For example, when we are humiliated, we feel hurt, we recoil from it, and of course, this is natural. But we cannot let ourselves be oversaddened or too affected by it. And that is the key to the virtue of patience. It is not to deny that we have sorrow, but to bear sorrow for love of Christ, who willingly bore so many sufferings for love of us. Patience does not complain. It doesn't show annoyance at sufferings, nor does it let sadness get in the way of doing good, or use it as an excuse to do evil, such as returning insult for insult. We are to accept the evils that come to us as God allows them. Now, this virtue of patience falls under the virtue of fortitude. For fortitude enables man to seek the difficult good in the face of the greatest dangers, even death. Fortitude is thus a great and noble virtue. It is for great deeds, for carrying great crosses. But fortitude has a little daughter, and that little daughter is patience. Patience is for every day. For every day, as I'm sure we all know, we each have little sufferings that we encounter. The day may come when we will need fortitude, but hardly a day goes by when we don't need patience. This is our daily cross, and that is what our Savior wants us to carry. Our Lord tells us, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." We are not martyred every day, and so we don't need heroic fortitude all the time. But I'm sure there is some daily annoyance in each of our lives that we need patience for. We need patience for that headache, for the computer that won't work, or that irritable person that we must be around. How any of these, or all these combined, can try our patience? Christ calls us to carry our crosses after him, to carry them as he carried his. He goes further and declares, "He that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." Both little and great sufferings, we must bear them for love of Christ. But carrying those little daily crosses with patience and love can feel like its own martyrdom. In fact, St. Francis de Sales agrees. He readily admits, "This is difficult because it is contrary to our selfish, fallen nature." But then St. Francis de Sales points out a help, something that will make our crosses much easier to bear. He tells us to make frequent considerations of the afflictions, contempts, and insults which our Lord suffered. He goes on to say, "When we contemplate such a weight of bitterness as this, are we not wrong in giving in to the trifling misfortunes which befall us?" That is what the little girl in the story did. Lily wore a crucifix and touched it when she was tempted. Grasping the image of our crucified Savior, helped her remember the sufferings of our Lord, and this made her ready to suffer anything for him. And so, my dear faithful, I urge you to take up your cross daily, especially this upcoming Lent. When you have some suffering, some sin that is difficult to avoid, or some virtue that is just painful to practice, look to Christ carrying the cross. See him struggling under that great weight. Think of him fallen on the ground. The cross crushes him. He struggles to his feet and then falls back to the ground again. He tries to rise, and then he stops, and he looks up. He looks to you watching over him, and he meets you right in the eye. Without a word, he asks you to help him to carry this cross for him. As St. Francis says, when we contemplate such a weight of bitterness as this, are we not wrong in giving to the trifling misfortunes which befall us even the names of adversities and injuries? Christ carried his great cross with the heroic virtue of fortitude. Can we not suffer with a little patience those day-to-day sufferings we each have? Be the good soil, my dear faithful, that our Lord spoke of in the Gospel. You have received the Word of God, and now is the time to keep it and bring forth fruit in patience. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.